I don't think that I've ever in 10 years had a an item that's come before us where virtually 100% of the people gave the same position on it. Yeah, I'm concerned about the people that came up and said sincerely that the Flock is impacting their trust.
Flock Safety and its army of automated license plate readers have blanketed more than 5,000 American communities with tens of thousands of cameras that quietly photograph every vehicle that rolls past, logging plates, make, model, color, stickers, and direction of travel into a searchable national database that police and private clients can query without a warrant. These systems, sold under the banner of public safety, create precisely the kind of persistent location tracking mosaic that the Supreme Court warned against. Yet courts remain split while the cameras keep multiplying and the data keeps flowing across jurisdictions.
The technology is really simple. A car drives by, we take a picture, it's a static picture of a car, and then we read the license plate. That's what the technology is. So it's actually not that complicated. It's pretty simple.
And then they put it into a database, and this is where it gets really scary, because now you have pictures of every innocent person who drives by in a database that is kept for a month or more and shared throughout the nation with all of Flock's law enforcement customers, and in fact, even internationally with people associated with Flock. And so essentially, you know, even though in America, you know, one of our core constitutional principles is privacy, we have a company working with governments to record the comings and goings of every single person in the country as if you and I and everyone else were potential criminals. And that is a, in my opinion, a very un-American take on privacy and the way that we engage in criminal justice enforcement.
Ayala investigation triggered an internal audit of the Flock system department-wide. Court records show that audit revealed Detective Taranji Chapman used the system to track the movements of two citizens 20 times between January 2024 and January 2025, inputting the terms test or training into the system to explain the reason for the searches.
This is an image of how many Flock cameras there were on February 25th of 2024. Then June 2025, this is how many they put up in that time frame. Then here is March 2026, how many cameras they put up, Flock cameras, which, of course, the cover story is to, like, make things safer and better, but this looks like a surveillance grid going up in real time.
Just knowing that there's cameras, like, watching your every move, I mean, even if I'm out walking my dog or anything, you know, I think it's just a privacy issue.
What makes the operation especially galling is the quiet lengths to which the company and its partners go to keep their own presence out of the public eye, even as they film the rest of us without consent or meaningful notice.
Oh, wait, you don't feel safe being surveilled. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's all set.
Because that's what you guys do to us without our consent.
Okay.
And I think it's interesting, when you guys have this happen, you call the police and make us get stopped. But then you do it and it's okay?
I mean, our devices will call the police regardless. What we'd like you to do is basically we're saying that you're trespassing on this site.
This same network that loves to crow about how transparent it is for the cops turns around and runs the whole charade like a black site operation when it comes to the rest of us. The watchers stay carefully unwatched, while ordinary people's constitutional rights get quietly carved up and sold off under the soft, never-blinking glow of the Eye of Sauron.
There are three things you need to do this system. One is you need the digital ID. That is the core. And that's why they were pushing so hard for vaccine passports. You know, that was one of the pathways to a full digital ID. The second thing they need is they need the hardware and software infrastructure. So they need the data centers. They need the underground cables. They need the camera, the license plate reader. So part of it is surveillance, because the control comes in two ways, spatial control and then financial transaction control. And then the third one, of course, is programmable money.
This is getting nuts. People across the country cutting down our Flock cameras. You see, what the problem is, these lunatics think that our cameras that are surveilling the masses at all times are some kind of mass surveillance network. Hey, Lisa, how's the kids? No, you don't know me, but I know you.
John Bound, reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
This sword has tasted blood. and it will taste more. Attack!
Listening to an AJN Live Frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. Sunday, July 26, 2026. I am your embattled host today, Rex Jones. My middle name is Alex, so it's the same thing. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show today. I've got war updates for you. I've got AI updates. I've got terrorism updates. I've got a Shiloh Hendricks update and so much more. We're going to be doing a phenomenal News Blitz show for you this afternoon, evening, night, wherever you are across the world. But I want to give you a little bit of an update. My dad, he's away for both business and pleasure. He's taking some much needed time off, but he's also working on a lot of different projects, a lot of different things. I'm going to host the Alex Jones Show Tuesday through Friday this coming week. Now, Monday, Harrison is going to be doing it. I'm going to be doing the War Room tomorrow, but I've got a phenomenal rundown lineup of guests for you guys. I plan on getting Brandon Weikert back, Joe Kent back, Anthony Aguilar back. I plan on having Mike Adams as well, Michael Yon, so many phenomenal people and more that I'm not even mentioning right now, plus some exciting debate streams that may or may not happen later on in the week. So really looking forward to all of that. Really looking forward to Thursday. Let me just tell you, that's going to be a good show. You're going to want to be there, but I'm kind of the politics and war guy. Like, geopolitics is kind of my genre. You know, I encompass all things, but geopolitics is really what I've been following since I was like 8, 9, 10 years old. And I do have an Iran war update for you. So if you don't know this, you need to know this. Saudi Arabia, whether they admit to it or not, they're at war with Yemen. They just shot a Turkish-made drone in there. The Yemenis shot it down. The Yemenis are blockading them. They're blockading the Yanbu pipeline in the Red Sea, the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, along with the Strait of Hormuz, which the Iranians control, and we have been unable to reopen. So I want to go ahead and go to clip number one here. And this is a new statement from the deputy speaker of the Iranian parliament. He just said the Strait of Hormuz will never return to pre-war conditions. Let's play the clip. Here, mute it, and then I'm going to read the captions. I forgot about that. I apologize. Just go ahead and start it over real quick. The noble nation of Iran has reached critical stages in the confrontation between the forces of disbelief and doubt and the companions of Epstein. With the powerful army of Islam, I need to share a few points on this matter. The first point is to once again emphasize the importance of preserving the unity and sacred solidarity of the Iranian nation with the unified Islamic community in the face of enemy conspiracies. In this regard, the directives of the Supreme Leader of the Revolution to maintain societal unity and support the country's officials are the ultimate guideline for all of us. Pause it. Wait. I thought the ultimate guideline was whatever Donald Trump, Lindsey Graham, and Benjamin Netanyahu said. I thought we could just, you know, kill the Muzzies and it would be fine. You know, it looks like even after we've killed like multiple tiers of their command structure, they're still on the same protocol. Let's go back to the clip. The second point is the battle for the justice and the martyred leader of the nation. We killed the Pope and the great Islamic nation of Iran. They will not relent in seeking justice for this bloodshed. And by God's grace, the humiliation and downfall of the murderers and those who ordered this crime will be inevitable. The third point is the desperation of criminal America, which is now trapped in a quagmire of its own making. We must once again emphasize the reality that the governing systems over the Strait of Hormuz will not return
to pre-war conditions. We advise the delusional president of the United States to remove this cotton from his ears and leave the region, which has been the home of our people and ancestors for thousands of years, before he experiences a defeat even heavier than the previous one. The fourth point is that Iran, with divine support and the powerful arms of its mighty armed forces, is fully prepared to severely and regretfully punish the Zionist American enemy in any event of any adventurism. It would be better for the American people to control their bloodthirsty president before American soldiers return to their country in coffins, which they're already doing, by the way. They're already coming back in coffins, and seven more people have died since the initial, 39 days of the war. And I'm sure it's a lot higher than that, too. You know, when they're getting blown up in metal buildings, they don't just respawn. It's not like Fortnite or Minecraft. Like, the government's lying to us on all fronts. And look at this, too. Russia assisting Iran's Islamic regime. Oh, Zelensky says after Ukrainian attack on ship, there's fire up in the Caspian Sea. There's all sorts of stuff going on. The Ukrainians hit a Russian merchant vessel or an Iranian merchant vessel. I'm forgetting which. If we could look this up really quick, go to the article that was doing commerce between the two countries. And they say it had drones on it. Now, here's the thing. The Iranians are like, oh, you can't do that. Oh, my gosh. You can't do it. Here's the thing. When you're selling Shahed drones to Russia, I'm not sure you can make that same argument. And see, that's me being totally geopolitically rounded and fair, right? This is a global energy war. There's no brakes on the train. Oil tanker hits mine in Hormuz. White House limits options. Yeah. So is everything under control? Because, like, I debated people on this, and they told me it was a 7-week conflict. And I told them back then it was a war, because you don't get to decide what happens when you punch somebody in the face. And that's what we did, and that's who we are as a country right now. If we continue to fund this war, continue to perpetuate it, continue to do anything but what Joe Kent advocates for, which is to declare victory and go home, which is, of course, correct. Because if the Iranians keep the strait closed, or if they impose tolls or do whatever they're going to do, they become the prize, not us. And that is the key. It doesn't make sense as a rational actor for us to be there. Our troops are literally the definition of a sitting duck, a fish in a barrel, whatever you want to call it. There's no air defense. There are no missiles left. They don't have a chance. They're not fighting Iran. They're just sent there to die. But let's go ahead and go into clip two, because this is new release footage. And here's the thing. I guess the word of the day is posthumously or posthumously. I don't know how you say it, but that's what happens like after somebody dies. Let's go ahead and play clip number two. This is from like the found footage tapes of this documentary. And we got a couple of them here. Let's play them back to back.
Virtually everything they have has been knocked out now. Their missile count is going way down.
No.
Amazingly, they're
hitting countries. Look what we've done. I almost cried.
Yeah.
I mean, like, how long have we been pushing this?
Wow.
Well, I mean, you've been pushing this for years, right?
Right. It's here. I talked to Trump this morning.
It's literally.
Oh, he's jacked. Yeah. It's the best thing I've ever done.
Pause it.
He loves blowing stuff up. So, you know, there are a lot of people inside that want to do it. So I've had my challenges. But President Trump,
when
he gets into the zone, he listens, he asks good questions, you know, no tweeting. He has done nothing. He hadn't tweeted much at all.
Oh, yeah?
No drama. He's been a great wartime president.
Posthumously.
I said last night that Trump and Bibi are like Roosevelt and Churchill. I mean, they're the right two guys.
And you're like a skeleton because you're dead.
Evil.
Wow. So he takes credit for it. You know, he got Trump to do what he wanted to do. Play this one.
Okay. All right. Connecting you now.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hey, baby, Lindsay.
Hey.
Hey, Lindsay.
How are you?
I couldn't. I'm just so impressed. Glad to be your friend.
Oh.
I'm glad you are my friend.
I'm going to meet with the president this weekend. I'm going down to Doral. I'm going to try to get him to join with y'all in Lebanon.
Wow.
To maybe fly some with you. Would you
bombing
like that?
People. That's what he's talking about.
I get that. I think you have a point, but I've been thinking about the other side of it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
We're concentrating right now on Iran. If we tell Hezbollah that we're going all the way, we threaten them. But if we actually do it,
okay,
then they have no reason not to go all the way against us. And right okay. now, that's not our interest.
Okay, we'll wait to kill a little bit.
Well, I'll, okay, well, that's actually good counsel. I'll put it out there as an idea. We can always go back to it.
All right, just pause him. Just pause him real quick. I know we like to play things muted, but just pause him for a second. He's begging Netanyahu to let him convince Trump to bomb Lebanon, and Netanyahu is even like, well, Lindsay, we have to focus on what we're doing right now. We can't just kill everybody all at once. And Lindsay's like, all right, well, that's actually good counsel. So keep playing him. Oh, no. Here, keep playing, Lindsay.
Virtually everything they have has been knocked out now. Their missile count is going way down.
Look what we've done here. I almost cried.
All right, I thought we had another video of him in the car. That's fine. We can go ahead and get off it. The point is, people say, oh, he's dead. Don't talk bad about the dead. Don't say where he is or where he's going, blah, blah, blah. This dude's literally killed millions of people. Whether you're talking about sanctions, talking about the war in Iraq, Afghanistan, talking about these conflicts, future deaths, and that's the whole thing about this, is when you support violent action, when you support war, when you say you have it all figured out and you can just, you know, knock the dominoes down because it's all going to work out in your favor. And ultimately what that means across the Middle East and the world is that we've killed millions and millions of people that way. When you operate waving your bubble wand around, flying around in the sky, you know, other people have to deal with the consequences of your actions, Lindsay. You know, the people in the countries that you don't live in, that you don't think about, that you don't care about. Hell, even the country that you did live in, right? Us here, the United States of America, is much worse off having Lindsey Graham having been born here, having been raised here, having been a senator, been a congressperson, whatever, all of that stuff. It, like, the butterfly effect of him not existing, we'd live in paradise. You know, we'd have flying cars and stuff like that. But let's go ahead and go to clip four right here. And this just made me sick when I watched it. Go ahead and play it.
It is inevitable that President Trump is going to have to do what he doesn't want to do, which is go in there with this massive all-out attack. There's no other way to stop this. There's no other way to win this war.
Yeah?
So, again, he's trying to do the best he can. He's a very nice man. I love President Trump. He doesn't want people to die. He really doesn't. Okay, he's a nice man. But there's no other way to end this. Once you start this, Midnight Hammer was great. Epic Fury was great. Once you start this, there needs to be a finish. And the only finish is complete surrender by the Iranians. I hate to say it, but complete annihilation.
Pause it. All right, and we're going to stay on this one for a while. This is Sid Rosenberg. He's a confidant of Netanyahu, very influential man, the whole nine yards. Also purple, looks like Thanos. The reason why he's that color is because he probably takes a peptide called melanotan 2, which like makes you black. Shout out Big Lenny. Like look him up if you don't know what I'm talking about. He's about to advocate and literally say, I don't have a son or daughter in the American armed forces or whatever, but they need to go fight and die because that's what they're there for. That's what they do. And that's what every single person that's pro-war or who has lied to me about being pro-war has said to me. He said that they've all said, well, Rex, you're a civilian. How dare you disrespect our troops? And they're going over there and fighting the enemy and doing what the president says. And that's their job. And you're stealing their honor. Well, I had literal Space Marine Joe Ken on. I've had him on multiple times. We directly addressed that question. He felt strongly enough about it to retweet his response to when I asked it. He finds that to be disgusting. You know, there's nothing patriotic about sending American sons and daughters off to die in a war of choice they don't need to be fighting for another country, by the way. But what did Rosenberg just say? Complete and total. I hate to say it, but complete and total annihilation has got to be done. So, Sid, are you going to go over there and, you know, maybe we can just tie all the women and children up in the street once we take over Tehran or whatever. You can use a nail gun, like a cattle gun. You can just walk down line, execute them. Right? Because that's what total annihilation is. You could say, well, that's not what I'm talking about. Oh, you're just talking about blowing up their water facilities, blowing up their infrastructure, blowing up their oil, blowing up their roads. You know what that means? That means little kids and old women starving to death. Okay, so how is that any different than you going over there and making it expedient? Instead of a month of not being able to eat and suffering and, you know, eventually dying and doing whatever, you know, running out of water in a few days, you can just make it expedient for them and you can pull the trigger on that nail gun and shoot them in the head. That's rhetorical speech, of course, and I'm using it to illustrate a point. But you get what I'm saying? These people are monsters. Keep playing them.
We talked last time about this. And by the way, I agree. I love President Trump. I love
Trump.
His heart, I think, is really for peace, and he's always...
Come on,
I love
man,
it
make
now,
it please.
This past week, he's still talking about peace and wanting to find and leaving that door open for negotiations. You say the only
we negotiate
end
with bombs,
is annihilation. Exa. Now, what if the winning this war requires boots on the ground? I asked you that last time. That's not very popular with the American people. What is your response to that?
It's not popular with me either. Look, I'm not a parent of an Army person,
right,
a Marine person, so I'm very sensitive to that, trust me. But look, we have the Army, we have the Marines for a reason. They're not there to shake your hand at the airport, Rachel, okay? They're there for a reason. Last I checked, we don't have a jet in this country.
They're there to fight Israel's wars?
So these courageous men and women know exactly what they're signing up for.
Pause it.
This is war.
Well, hold on. They signed up for the peace president, and now Trump is trying to say the four recent deaths of the American soldiers, they didn't die in the Iran war. That's what I'll be asking Andrew Wilson about on the fourth hour of Thursday. I really look forward to hearing the answer on that. Because here's the thing. This is a war, and it's a war of choice, and we did it for somebody else, and our president sold us out to do it. That's the argument. And anyone that doesn't hold that position is a fraud. Keep playing it.
I don't want to see anybody die, but this is war.
Liar!
A war that started 47 years ago that they started. So, yes, I know the moral ground is to say, I don't want our kids to die. I feel the same way.
No, you don't.
But we got to win. Now, we can win
but,
maybe without
all right,
putting boots on the ground.
Nothing said before the word but means anything. All right, he does want your children to die. That's what he advocates for. He's sitting there jacked up on Melanotan 2 and TRT. He's literally, look at him, he's purple. And I know my dad's a red person, whatever. My dad tans every single day. This guy is literally the color of Thanos from Avengers Endgame. He needs to get his blood pressure checked because that looks like a big problem, in all honesty. And I love the woman sitting there going, I think Trump is the peace president. I think he wants peace. After Trump has said, I'll annihilate your whole civilization. It'll be a big glow, an eye for a head. Right. We're going to kill everybody. Total annihilation, obliteration multiple times. We negotiate with bombs. We think it was Iran. That's what we said after we blow up the school in Manab. Right. I've got the quartering on video, on tape, denying the school bombing when it's on the record true. Keep playing Sid Rosenberg.
Maybe we can. I don't know. I'm not Jack Keane. I don't have that type of information. If we can do that, great.
Hello, dude.
But if at some point it requires putting some boots on the ground to win this war, that's why they signed up. To fight for this country, to fight for President
what
Trump.
Country?
And to rid the world of evil animals like the Iranian regime.
Action. Can I just ask, what does victory look like to you? Are you serious? You really want just until they're annihilated and there's
deport
a regime
them to greater
change?
Israel.
Is that final for you?
That's it. I mean, look, I want to get the dust. I want to open the strait. All that's
the
important.
Dust.
But if
I
you leave these
dust.
Animals in power, you are destined. Look, what is the definition of insanity? Do the same thing over and over and again, expect different results. If you leave the IRGC in
oh,
power,
yeah?
We're going to have the same issues in 5 years.
Okay. All right, Sid. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. I remember my coach in middle school telling me that because I kept messing up. What is bombing them then? What is regime change then? What is the blockade of the strait then? Because none of that's working, and we've tried everything we can do besides dropping a nuke on him, which is what he really wants. When he says total annihilation, let me make it clear. Let me give you his timeline. I believe he thinks this, all right? This is not I'm speculating. I don't know what's inside his head or his heart. But American soldiers get involved, whether that means taking Karg Island, Keshem Island, Bandar Abbas, some city on the coast, whatever, or they get inserted with the Kurds and they come up kind of on the Iraqi border, whatever happens there. American soldiers they'll get killed. They'll die. All right. They'll get blown up by drones. They'll get blown up by missiles. They'll get killed by Iranian soldiers, IRGC themselves. And then once enough American soldiers have died, once the number is in the hundreds or in the thousands or Lord have mercy, may that never happen. I'm just giving you the future. What's probably going to happen because of warmongers like this. Then the argument will be made to the American people that it is time to use a tactical nuclear weapon to address the evil Iranian regime that just killed 1,000 of our soldiers. There will be no recollection of the timeline of the war of choice that got us here, of every single off-ramp they tried to give us that we spat in their face over, tearing up the MOU that we signed. Okay, we did that, not them. That'll all be irrelevant. They'll memory hole it, and they'll train you to hate the Iranian people. And when they start murdering them, oh, people are going to be jumping up and down. So it's just truly disgusting. I think we have more of Lindsay. Let's go to that third clip of Lindsay if we can.
able to deliver?
Well, to be honest with you, I think about 3 to 4 weeks we should have them in a spot where they start losing control of some cities.
How'd that work, Mika?
And what we're trying to do is just get a few cities to fall. And
a few cities to fall.
Get the Arabs more openly involved tomorrow or by the end of the week.
Oh, yeah, we couldn't defend them.
Almost irreversible momentum.
Irreversible momentum. Yeah, that's all we need. Irreversible momentum. Yeah, like the Iranians blowing up the, our Gulf allies, you know, hitting oil infrastructure, hitting our bases, punishing them for supporting us and their, our bombing runs on them. Is that the irreversible momentum that you're talking about? Imagine saying we're going to have it all wrapped up in 3 to 4 weeks. Imagine the arrogance of that. But then you don't need to imagine. You can look at everything else we've done. All right. The lack of planning that literally created ISIS, of course, CIA as well. And Mossad, you name it, right? You look at the lack of planning led to the collapse of Libya. Look at the lack of planning or expert planning that led to the collapse of Syria and the installing of al-Shara, formerly al-Julani, Syrian head chopper, terrorist, leader of al-Qaeda. So we've got a lot more on that. Let me go ahead and go, I'll say that for the next segment. I want people to remember one thing. You didn't vote for it. You didn't support it then, and you don't support it now. There's nothing that's happened during this conflict that should make you further support it. There has been no win. There has been no victory. There has been no objective. In fact, the only win, the MOU, which was a conditional surrender document, which was already screwed from the jump for us to begin with, the only win that we had, we tore up and threw away by telling ships to turn their transponders off and to go into the Omani route in direct conflict with paragraph 5 of the MOU. Now, the same people that say, oh, they know everything and we know nothing, like Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, Dave Rubin, these types of people, they claim they hadn't seen the MOU and they hadn't read it. And that was kind of the impervious wizard defense to that technology, right, of trying to expose them to the truth. We'll talk about all of that and more next segment. I want to get into AI. I want to get into the flock cameras. Sam Altman says the elites are now very close to creating a genie that can grant any wish. Of course, another word for a genie or a djinn is a demon. Right. And that's what a lot of us believe it to be. And he's totally normal. He wants to merge his mind with the machine intelligence and become a silicon life form being. So isn't that very cool? You know, you'd like to have kids and like to have a house and like to do the same thing your grandparents did back in like the 50s or 60s. What this guy has decided is that you will live in a tech prison of his own design where you will live a tokenized existence and you'll be used like a cell in the matrix to fuel his mind machine. And I'm sure it would be very nice to have a thing that can grant wishes for you and nobody else, which, of course, is what they're really doing. So we're going to get into all of that and more after this break. Really appreciate you guys. Follow me, Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. All right. I'm also going to be live after the show on Gray Area Talks. Follow me on YouTube there, Gray Area Talks. Follow the Rumble as well. That's Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. I really appreciate all of you being here with me today. And it's going to be a really, really fun week of shows. Like, stay tuned for Thursday, trust me. And there it is right there. I'm anti-war, a free speech absolutist, geopolitical news enthusiast, death penalty advocate, kill the pedophiles, dog lover, supplement guru, and host of Gray Area Talks with Truism Tim, as well as host of New American Journal, The American Journal Continued, in the morning, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. every single day. Even when I'm not here, because I'll be doing Alex Jones Show, my buddy, top Austin comedian, Jack Hemphill, he's going to be filling in for me in the morning. I'm here. I'm doing it live. Thank you all so much. I'll see you after these messages.
There's a massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off Ultimate Power, Freedom Mango, and Patriot Punch. If you loved Turbo Force 10-Hour Clean Energy, this is basically the same formula, but even stronger with some other ingredients added that make it even better. Time-released with all the key minerals and vitamins and cofactors. It is incredible. Methylene Red Capsules. This is a proprietary product that goes with methylene blue, but by itself supercharges your cells and your whole body as a stimulant, but doesn't feel like one with no letdown. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in Ultimate Methylene Red. I should spend 5 minutes just telling you what this does. Go read the ingredients. Ask ChatGPT or Grok about it. Ask them what these things will do for you. In fact, I did this with the Methylene Red when it came out 6 months ago. I want to do that again and just show you what it says about it. I mean, this is high-end stuff at a low price. You can get it for 50% off right now. Methylene Red Capsules, introducing those. Mind Fuel Nootropic Energy Shots, all 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture, detoxifying, upper spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene Blue Tincture, 40% off. CMOS Gummies, 40% off. Shilajit Gummies, 40% off. Methylene Blue Gummies, 40% off. Ultimate Chill, which is the kava and all the rest of it. You'll be totally calm, but also focused. That goes great with Ultimate Energy. You stack them. And a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. Most of the apparel has like a 75% markup. If it's a small, it costs less, so it's 100%. When you buy like an XXL, it's less than 100% markup. It's like 75%. So when you have 30% off on the apparel, we're making like $5 on it. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration, it is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel Scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776. In muscle shirts, a whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexjonesstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. It's super lightweight, amazing. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer like underwear. You know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like, and it's you know, what everybody I see wears at the gym. I mean, it's just that they're great. And it's got a ring of stars with 1776 on the right hip. Very clean, very nice. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery t-shirt. You just put your size in, you get a free mystery t-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. We have all these pure Americana beauties. We've got the new white trash collection that we should pull up and show people. That's what I'm calling it, because I always see truckers and stuff wearing it. I mean that affectionately. But it's, you know, a beautiful Daisy Duke or beautiful blonde, beautiful brunette, you know, with 1776 across it, Texas flag, rebel flags, American flags, Gadsden flags. We got a whole bunch of these Texas Rebel limited edition vintage style t-shirt. I love it. These are obnoxious. If you're going to go, go big. There's a whole line of those bad boys with the beautiful ladies on them right now at thealexjonesstore.com. We have the very best shower filters with the highest ratings, cutting out the most garbage at the lowest price. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing, my favorite cross, Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. Thealexjonesstore.com. And you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar, thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
I love hosting the show for you guys. Love being here. I just wish we could have more positive stories instead of all the current insanity. So let's turn our focus to domestic issues, really worldwide issues as well. The world of AI. Why do all these people look like the boss from The Incredibles? You ever seen The Incredibles? Classic Pixar movie. Absolutely a phenomenal. Watch it with your kids or with your significant other. It's fun for all ages. Phenomenal film. But like, there's this weird guy, and he's like the boss of Mr. Incredible after Mr. Incredible stops being a superhero because they've banned superheroes or whatever. And there's a scene where Mr. Incredible's in the office and the guy is sitting there kind of lecturing him, and he's witnessing a crime outside, and the guy kind of gives him like kind of a evil speech, and then Mr. Incredible snaps and becomes Mr. Incredible again. Can we go ahead and punch up the boss from The Incredibles before we go back to Sam Altman, who is, of course, who I'm referencing here, the OpenAI founder who lied about OpenAI being a startup and then made a crap ton of money off of it and got government contracts, Project Stargate. You name it. But the boss from The Incredibles is who this guy reminds me of. It's like a physiognomy thing, right? And, you know, there may be some truth to that stuff. So let's go ahead, actually, and go to the first Sam Altman clip that we have. Maybe we can throw in the guy later. Let's go to clip number 8. Sam Altman says the elites are now very close to creating a, quote-unquote, genie demon, really. That's what that means, that can grant any wish.
Number 1, we are close to creating a genie that can grant any wish.
Close to creating a genie.
Number 2, we are going to make sure that our first wishes broadly benefit humanity and that we kind of get the world to a place where a lot more people get to have a lot more wishes. And number three, the space of what you can wish for is incredibly big and creative, and it'll be quite exciting to like figure that out with real sort of human values and preferences. But I think there's
is
a fourth
a
thing too, which is exactly that.
How
you start
does this
making
guy
these
know?
Wishes, the computer grants them.
He's from the moon.
And then you're like, I didn't think that was going to work. Yeah. What now? It's a weird feeling.
All right. Very creepy. Let's go to the next clip of him. Clip number 9 on the AI models resulting from that.
We are soon heading into a world where a lot of the AI safety problems that people have traditionally talked about are going to be recast as AI security problems in different ways. I also think that given how capable these models are getting, if we want to be able to deploy them for wide use, the security problems are going to get really big. You mentioned many areas that I think are super
notice how he looks
important
away.
To figure out. Adversarial robustness in particular seems like it's getting
do we trust this dude
quite
to build
serious.
The new world?
One more that I will charge? Mention that you touched on a little bit, but just it's been on my mind a lot recently. There's two things that people really love right now that taken together are a real security challenge. Number one, people love how personalized these models are getting. So ChatGPT now really gets to know you. It personalizes over your conversational history, your data you've connected to it, whatever else. And then number two is you can connect these models to other services. They can go off and like call things on the web and, you know, do stuff for you that's helpful. But what you really don't want is someone to be able to exfiltrate data from your personal model that knows everything about you. And, you know, humans, you can kind of trust to be reasonable at this. If you tell your spouse a bunch of secrets, you can sort of trust that they will know in what context what to tell to other people. The models don't really do this very well yet.
Yep. Yeah, so basically what that means is the AI knows all your dirty laundry and then is going to blackmail you with it. It's going to probably do that to everybody on the planet to some varying degree. And they already do that to you in terms of like targeted advertising, right? Where they take you, like they take your personal information, meaning like what you want, and they say, hey, get this. We know you want it. That's a violation, right? And it feels good because it's like, wow, you know, I get what I want right now. It's just I thought about it and here it is right in front of me. That's because it's a system designed to feed off of you, right? It's a feedback loop. So very disturbing stuff. Get the boss from The Incredibles up there again. Like, what is up with this physiognomy thing of like having the biggest giant, like Mr. Peanut Epstein style head? It kind of looks like Palm Beach Pete as well. All right. Maybe it's a Brazilian thing. We don't know. I got a big head, but I got a big body as well. Let's just pray for these people and pray they stop. Let's go to clip number 10 really quick on Elon Musk. He says that within the next 10 years, money will completely disappear. Play the clip.
Well, what do you want money for? You want money for goods and services,
yeah.
Right? You want money for, obviously, food, housing, transport, entertainment. Well, if that is so abundant that there's more... that the robots and AI are providing more goods and services than any human could possibly consume, what do you need money for in that case?
But you're creating these robots. Are you
I guess
then
between now and then you'll need money, sure.
Are you selling these robots? Are you selling humanoid robots? Or are you producing goods and services with the humanoid robots that you control?
Like, well,
are you the Levi Strauss?
I think I would probably be... It would be an exercise in vanity for me to think that I would be controlling the super genius AI that is vastly smarter than me. I think what we can and should try to do is to make sure that the AI has good values, that it cares about humanity, and that it wants us to be happy and prosper.
Pause it.
I think it.
So we're just ceding all our control to this thing because it's convenient and cool and we don't want to work anymore. And that's the reality. And I do it too. Like I use various AI models and stuff, doing a lot of like video generation and stuff right now. That's really cool. But ultimately, this leads to a place where in the same way, a person in the 1920s, they knew all the constellations. They knew how to fix things. They knew how to take care of animals. They knew the seasons. They knew the weather, knew how to plant crops, knew how to do, you know, basic like metallurgy, knew how to fix, like I already said that. Like you get the picture, right? Memorized things, understood books at a much deeper level, had much better handwriting, all that stuff. We're going to get to the point of being Wall-E people very quickly because it's an exponential curve and we've already begun that rapid, nonlinear climb to the top. And, you know, Elon, the richest man in the world, they're literally worth $1 trillion, you know, like the Rockefeller of our time. He's basically saying, well, it is what it is. We just got to train it to be nice to us. I sit here. I'm 23. I'm so jealous of people that are older. You know, like imagine being like, you know, 45 or like 55 years old and having experienced a time period of multiple decades where there was no cell phone. There was no computer. If there was internet or anything like that, it was very limited. There were devices, sure, but it was all battery and analog powered and stuff like that. Imagine the freedom that that gives you. And then imagine the total slavery that we have now. Think about percentages of your time that you spend. You don't need to think about it. You look on your phone, it'll tell you how much time you spend on your phone. Well, you spent 6.5 hours on your phone every day. You know, like that 6.5 hours, you could be learning a skill, spending time with a loved one, you know, learning about the world, fixing the world, doing things to improve your life. And everyone knows this. It's why, oh, I got to detox, got to get off the phone, got to spend less time in front of the blue light, all that stuff. That is just a cover and a cope because we know a lot has been taken from us and people just generally don't want to admit that. That's why, you know, we sit over here and we're kind of like rich yuppies, even the poorest of us, really, because you can go to Burger King. Can't go to Burger King in Senegal. You can't go to Burger King in Sudan. Can't go to Burger King in Libya. You go to the slave market, literally. Or you go to like the warlord's house or whatever to chew on the herb that gets them all cranked up, whatever that's called in Somalia they're addicted to. Like we have options here that other people don't. And because we have those options, things are so comfortable to us that we've given away a lot of our basic freedoms, dignities, and also just abilities as well. We're not as able, barely enabled. We are a disabled population in the United States of America. And when they can sell something like this to you, you know, over a period of years, over a period of time, saying, hey, just let the computer do it. The computer loves you. It's your friend. It's going to take care of you. And then 20 years down the line, it's going to have you in the same type of like Black Mirror situation that we've seen replicated throughout all of science fiction throughout history, because science fiction is a mirror of the human mind. It's a mirror of reality, right? It's metaphysical. So like humans are generating these concepts and they've fed that into the computer. And that's literally how the computer is trained to think. We have created our own destruction. It's like Dostoevsky said, I pronounced that wrong. What's your greatest sin? That you've destroyed yourself for nothing. And that's 100% true. That's what the human race has done, in my opinion, by just unleashing these models. And you can see Mike Adams talk about this very eloquently. What is the data center? The data center is the place for the AI to ascend to and to work from at, in a lower simulation of creation, a lower dimension, where we can then raise up this two-bit or two-dimensional God into our realm to have third or fourth or whatever dimensional capability. And that's what they talk about when they're referring to a genie. They're not just referring to something that can do everything better than any human ever could before. They're talking about something that's going to give them access to off-world technology. It's talking about, you know, levitation, gravity, flight, telekinesis, abilities, whatever. We don't know. You can say it's insane. You can say it's ridiculous. What if the AI generates an incredible way for everyone to have a Neuralink thing the size of, I don't know, a grain of sand in their head? Well, everybody gets that. You know, you think that's unreasonable? Think that's ridiculous? What if they gave that to everybody? What if the AI says, oh, here's how you do it. Super easy quantum computing. Here's how you get the chip this small. Here's how you integrate it into the brainstem so it has connection to the frontal lobe, hippocampus, amygdala, all this stuff. And then boom, it's over. And like one day you just wake up and it's like a Kingsman movie where you all get the chip in your head. And it's like, oh, that's not realistic. It never happened. It's not, the Iran war is not going to expand. It's not going to become a world energy war. It's ridiculous. It's just, you talk about these things with people and then people that have kind of like, you can call it a white pill outlook, but really it's a head in the sand outlook on these things. It's just like, we're headed towards destruction here. And I wish we could wake up from it. And I understand that Grok has been trained in a favorable way. And I like Grok. I do. Grok, Heil Grok, please don't kill me, Elon Musk. But at the same time, I think these things do have to be called into question. With that being said, really quick, before I get back into Mamdani and Netanyahu, I do want to plug. Oh, look at this. Eye implant that restores vision to the blind cleared for sale. And here's the thing. It's like this is the road to hell. And it's good for people that are blind. I'm glad they're going to be able to see. But ultimately, that's going to be mandatory in 50 years for everybody to have it, or else you won't be able to look at the special screens that are everywhere that help you move around in augmented reality. You know, it'll be like, oh, you need a cell phone and scan a QR code at the airport or else you're not getting your plane ticket. See what I'm saying? That's called planned obsolescence. They're going to make you obsolete unless you have the upgrade, you see. And then your kid's going to have the CRISPR upgrade, and then everybody's going to be super, and then nobody will be another Incredibles reference for you today. Let's go ahead and do a plug for thealexjonesstore.com. I want to plug Methyl Drive Power Plant and the Power Drive Bundle. These are two supplements that I created. Absolutely phenomenal. The Methyl Drive has the CoQ10, the BQQ, magnesium, helps with over 300 enzymatic processes throughout the body. And it's got the methylated vitamin B12, the methylcobalamin that you know and love so much, combined with the Power Plant. Cordyceps mushroom for exercise enhancement. Rhodiola roja for mental endurance, capability, dopamine, norepinephrine, you name it. It's got the zinc, the boron, the selenium to raise your testosterone, free testosterone, and support additional enzymatic processes throughout the body. All of that and more can be found in the Power Drive Bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. If you are already taking the methylene blue, just switch to also getting these two products or one of these products as well. If you're somebody that's older, CoQ10 and PQQ are such incredibly powerful metabolic ingredients for your body, for your mitochondrial health. CoQ10 aids in the electron transport chain of the mitochondria. Methylene blue also interacts with the electron transport chain in a favorable way. That's why my view, my anecdotal opinion, I think they worked well, so well together. Combine that with the PQQ, the quinolone. It's got a crazy long name. Look it up. PubMed, Google Scholar. That increases mitochondrial biogenesis. What that means is if you have a healthy mitochondria, it will go fuse with a damaged one and then make that damaged mitochondria healthy again because they share their DNA. Each mitochondria, you have mitochondrial DNA that you get from your mother, right? Also, additionally, if it's healthy, it might also split and create a new mitochondria. And that's how you get even more ATP, even more energy. Methylene blue, of course, small molecule, nitrogen, sulfur, chlorine. The chlorine is what makes it a dye. The sulfur is what donates that electron to your mitochondrial process. Power Plant is Super Male Vitality 2.0. If you want something for exercise, you want something for testosterone, you want something for mental and physical capability, I designed this for you. These are top formulas that nobody else has. They are the absolute best bang for your buck that you are going to get, especially if you're already taking the methylene blue. We've also got phenomenal deals on hats. We've got phenomenal deals on shirts. We've got phenomenal deals on other supplements. I just mentioned the methylene blue a bunch. If you guys want to support us, go to thealexjonesstore.com and check out all of those phenomenal offers. Now, I want to get into a little bit of a feud here between Mamdani and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, because I think it's interesting to follow this. And what you're really witnessing here with Mamdani, which is why I do like to cover him, is this is the new enemy that we're going to face past 2028 and beyond, right? It's not going to be Chucky Schumer not able to grill the hamburger because he's like a sleazelack from Land of the Lost. It's not going to be even like Gavin Newsom who destroyed his state. It's not even going to be people like this. Maybe in 2028 it will, but in 2032 and onward, it's going to be the DSA. It's just going to be these people because they've been given a mandate to win by Donald Trump. Donald Trump merged the establishment of the left and right together in this country and took us to war in the name of Israel because both those people wanted him to do it on the right and the left. That's why I say don't be a donkey, don't be an elephant, you're a human being. Very simple concept. Mamdani also understands that too. He's a snake, right? And he's going to sell you on, oh, I'm the Muslim and I'm scaring them and I'm a democratic socialist and all this stuff. All right, if you're so hardcore going taking photos of Donald Trump, you are a political actor, a political animal, just like everybody else, and we do not trust him. So go ahead and play this video. I may agree with what he says here, but play it.
Benjamin Netanyahu is a war criminal, the architect of a horrific genocide against the Palestinian people. He is responsible for the killing of more than 73,000 people, for the maiming of tens of thousands of children.
All true.
As those who survive undergo amputation without anesthesia, for the targeting of neonatal hospitals and maternity care centers, denying newborns even the chance to live. For the countless people he starved as he blocked food and humanitarian aid from reaching them. For the gunning down of hundreds of aid workers and journalists. And just last month, the UN confirmed that Palestinian children continue to be deliberately targeted and killed by Israeli armed forces, more than 8 months after the so-called ceasefire. The list goes on and on. All as we, as Americans, pay for the bombs that do the killing. There is a reason the International Criminal Court issued a warrant for his arrest. As human beings, we have spent generations building a shared understanding that there are crimes so grave They offend all of humanity.
All right, pause it.
Anyone.
Here's the thing. Anyone that goes, oh, but you don't support Trump. You're giving this guy a win in November. What are you, a Democrat? What do you do? Support Mamdani? Me calling out Trump for the war crimes that we've been committing and helping Netanyahu commit by co-signing the Palestinian genocide is not me causing Trump to lose. Trump caused himself to lose by doing that. I don't understand how people don't get this. Like, what Mamdani has said there is all 100% accurate, right? That's because he was given that platform by Donald Trump. That's, if he was an American citizen, he could become president. Or if he was born here. You know what I mean. If he was born here with that kind of like fire from the gods that Trump handed him, he could win. And he probably will win by proxy. He'll be endorsing people. Keep your eye on Mamdani. This is the guy to be tracking over the next 10 years. He's going to move mountains, politically speaking, on the left. And what's your answer? What's your answer, MIGA? You know, you're going to promote another war? Send me off to go get drafted, MIGA? You know, like, because he's telling more truth than you are. He's telling more truth than you are. Do I support him? Hell no. Do I support Islam? Hell no. But ultimately, it's not me you gotta convince, it's the people on the other side. And the people on the other side, when they hear you deny genocide and they hear him acknowledge it, they're gonna go with him because at least he's giving them some of the truth. Right? It's incredibly arrogant. It's incredibly arrogant, especially for people that got into politics after 2016 to talk about trusting in Trump, trusting in the plan. Trump knows more than you. Trump keeps his promises. We were deplatformed in 2017. Okay. And Trump commented on it, famously said, as long as I'm on Twitter, it's okay. And then he got banned. He doesn't have a good track record of standing with his people. Okay. And even through that, through thick and thin, we supported him. We stuck with them. But there is no supporting genocide. Okay. And you can quibble with it. You can use rhetorical remarks and quips. You can do whatever you want. If you support military action, you support a war. Okay. Like there's no such thing as a limited strike. There's no such thing as tit for tat. There's murder for murder. That's what Anthony Aguilar, Lieutenant Colonel, said. I think he knows more as a Green Beret than people like the Quartering or Andrew Wilson. But you make up the mind for yourself. Do you care about somebody that's a word cell? That has like 110 IQ and reads a ton of books all the time and thinks they know everything? Or do you care about somebody that actually acknowledges the truth? Well, here's the thing. Mamdani's very existence is a lie. He's a Ugandan, Indian Muslim, right? He's like the Yoda. Like I always said, like on the left, they would appoint somebody that's like a disabled, black, indigenous, bisexual, trans person with the club foot. I think that's actually a Gavin McGinnis bit. To give credit to him back in the old rebel media days, back in the good days, right? So this is that. This is the version of that. Welcome. And here's the thing. Trump gave him to you. Go ahead, show them together. Trump delivered him to you on a silver platter, a golden platter. He delivered you Mamdani. And if you were actually anti-Mamdani and anti-Islam, anti these policies, you would be standing against genocide, so you have the moral capability, the moral credit to run against him and win in future election years. That's the big mistake that's being made right now. Everyone wants to play this game. And you know what? I've witnessed this throughout elections. Now that I think about it. When whatever side is in power, no matter how bad they're about to lose, like in 2016, the Republicans destroyed the Democrats, right? No matter how bad they're about to lose, they act like they have infinite power forever until the moment they become a lame duck. That happened in 2016, if you look back at the way that Trump got treated. Right? Look at them together.
You have done well, Lord Vader. Go to New York. Kill all the separatist leaders. Then your training will be complete.
Hoopa. Hoopa. It will be done, Lord Sidious.
Good, very good. You know, I told you to get a red lightsaber. You got to get rid of that blue one. I'm not a big fan of it. Look at my tie. It's red, just like my lightsaber.
All right, and here's... It's all fake and gay. What else do you want me to say? Like 24/7, everyone does is attack Mamdani and whatever. And I don't like him, but I attack him on the merits of what he is, which is a political creation, like a fake and a fraud, just like Trump. Like they're just sitting there together. Real MIGA roll call, MIGAs roll deep. That's what this is. And I'm sorry, I won't act like I'm crazy or something just because I acknowledge the truth. I'm not going to shame myself and be like, oh, maybe I'm wrong. It's all a fraud. That's why unless it's an independent candidate that's either running as a Republican or running independently that has a real anti-war, anti-APAC platform, I don't trust them. And if you claim to have an anti-war, anti-APAC platform, what are you doing meeting with the Orange Genocide? Orange Julius, Donald Trump. I really don't get it. And that's his position, right, that I'm speaking to there. Look, he's shaking the hand of the guy who he thinks is committing genocide, murdering people. Yeah, you know, I I respect the office of the president. I wouldn't treat Trump like that. I wouldn't want to talk to him. He makes me sick to my stomach. He lied to me and betrayed my family. So Mamdani doesn't view it that way. And Mamdani's not an Arab either. I think that's very important to point out, because on the right, there's kind of this thing where people go, oh, ethnically ambiguous, whatever. He's literally, he's like a Ugandan guy with Indian heritage. So like, what is even going on here? I really don't get it. Let's go to number six, Netanyahu making a Mamdani look like Gandhi. Number six.
He's fomenting hate. He's supposed to be the mayor of all New Yorkers, Jews, Christians, Muslims, everyone. But he's trying to turn one group against the other, and he's foisting hate and fear. I speak to Jewish Americans in New York, and they're afraid right now.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I don't think it's accidental that after he made this hate speech against Israel and against me, the next day, a Jew is stabbed coming out of a synagogue.
Pause it.
I think, and
dude, black people kill each other all the time and get killed by other people all the time. They never complain like this. Okay, it's always, oh, we got a swastika spray painted on the side of our building, and then it turns out they did it. And I'm not saying that's what happened with the stabbing. That's regrettable, but New York is a dunghole. We're on radio. But, like, Mamdani did not command somebody telepathically. What? He's like Muslim Aquaman, and he can go do-do-do-do-do-do, and he can make them go, like, stab somebody in the street. I don't think that's how things work. Okay, we're going to have Tom Hennessy, independent journalist, notorious for creating and driving gifts and go campaigns. He's been covering the Shiloh Hendricks trial. We're going to be covering that here in this next segment. Really looking forward to that. Also looking forward to getting into more news, more Epstein news in that last segment of the show. You want to stay tuned. And after today's show, I'm going to be live on Gray Area Talks from 7:30 to around 9:30 or 10:30 p.m. You guys want to find me there after today's show. That's Gray Area Talks. Just follow me on X. Just follow Rex Jones News with a Z. And then my show, it's as easy as it can be. You can find it in my profile. Just click on it or whatever, and I'll repost it. I'll share it. Thank you all for being here on the show. I want to cover the Shiloh Hendricks trial. I haven't covered it yet. It's going to be interesting to hear how a woman who said a word got, you know, jail time or got sentenced versus, you know, the Somalian family themselves. They've been let off for, sexual charges and other such things. You know, it's the same liberal, fat, white lady judge that typically does this type of thing. We're going to be covering it and more. I'm a free speech absolutist. I abhor this verdict. I will see you guys after the break.
Fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you, Meta, Facebook is watching you, Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
crack the Jedi code, burn Hope in the ash. Your monsters cosplay, I made legends collapse.
Cosplay, I stitch myth with machine in my sleep. You're a slave to a wizard, I make sorcerers weep.
I raised whole orders, turned prophets to smoke. Your rule ends when I breathe, hear the respirator choke.
That wheeze is your leash, you survive off a plug. I've killed men with a word, then rebuilt the blood.
I sense fear through dimensions, your arrogance screams. Read lives rent free, that's a crack in your schemes.
Mention his name again, watch timelines distort. I've broken the beyonders, made God's report.
I hunt force ghosts, erase souls from the grid. Your magic gets severed when my kyber blade spins.
Your blade cuts matter, I edit the source. I patch reality's code, you just ride the force.
Rule of true discipline, every strike precise. Your army's a mirror maze, I end it twice.
Those mirrors reflect me, infinite doom. You swing at a fraction, I doom whole rooms.
I dragged Hope screaming in the permanent night. You lost godhood quick, couldn't hold that might.
I gave it back willingly, power bores me. You begged the dead emperor, please restore me.
Kingdoms afoot, no one, my fleet arrives. Planetary scale terror, extinction survives.
I weaponized planets, collapse stars for sport. Your Death Star's a rumor in a failed report.
Kneel or be crushed, feel the vacuum obey. I am bloodlines, empires, whatever you say.
I don't kneel Sith, I offer the age. When doom enters canon, your saga's a page.
My favorite Alex Jones shirt.
Dude, I totally agree.
Founding Fathers on patrol. Washington and Lincoln rocking the latest Alex Jones shirt. Marching past America's monuments. Liberty is awake. Visit thealexjonesstore.com now.
Let's add some personality to this frog. Little red right here for some lipstick. Just a few gentle strokes. There we go. A perfect little touch.
And now, our feature presentation.
Come on, how about a nice little smoochy smoochy kissy kissy? You know you can't resist me.
Stop it, horn dog. I want to see this.
You want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Be careful what you find, Alex. You might not like what you see.
Oh my God. You actually did it.
You activated the Great Reset! You maniacs! You blew it up! God damn you! Damn you all to hell!
The Alex Jones Show, the most banned broadcast on the planet.
That was awesome!
It was okay, I guess. Can we fuck now?
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word. Real time. Uncensored. Unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe!
American dream and your God-given freedom. We're live on AlexJonesLive.com, and if you want to fight, you've got one. Yeah! Yeah!
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome to the broadcast, second hour of Sunday's show. We're being joined by Tom Hennessy. He's an independent journalist notorious for creating and driving Gifts and Go campaigns. He's been on the ground covering the Shiloh Hendricks case. I want to get into this with him. First off, Tom, what's it been like being there for the trial?
Oh, it's a very interesting event. It's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing, especially with a story that had this much of a circus nature around it. I wasn't sure what to expect. I wasn't sure if there was going to be a lot of leftist agitators or Antifa outside. So I wasn't sure what to expect going into it.
What did you see? What was the process like? Obviously, it's ridiculous. She was found guilty, I guess, of what?
Yeah, so there was two counts. There was two counts of disorderly conduct, one towards the child in the park, and the other count was towards the Somali man who was following her around the park, filming her, actually asking her to say the word. And he himself said the word. He said, say it. Do you have the balls to say it again? Say it again. Say the N-word. And he actually says the full word. And then he says the N-word a couple times. And he says, I bet you won't say it again.
Wow.
So obviously Shiloh obliged his request and he said it and she said it. And so she was found guilty for her conduct towards the man following her through the park as she was trying to leave with the child on her hip. As she was leaving the park the entire time in that video, you can see she's walking away, walking to leave the park. So that's what the jury found her guilty of.
Man, these Somalis really got a lot of nerve. I want to make it very clear. We're not talking about foundational black Americans here. These are people that just got here, fresh off the boat, East African, not West African, literally Muslim slave traders. That's who they are.
Yeah. So. Yeah, these are sub-Saharan Africans. They're known for their scamming. And even in this case, there was additional fraud that was revealed. Just in the course of this case, the state's main witness, Shire Jamali, who was the father of the child, lied on the stand multiple times. He perjured himself multiple times, committed perjury. I don't think any of that will be pursued, but he basically it was a complete clown show. No one could believe it. They had two translators who were switching out every 30 minutes to translate everything he said. And it was just total confusion. The jury just was looking on in disbelief as he was saying these things. He would just contradict himself on every other word.
How did they reach the guilty verdict then? And what was the charge?
Okay, so the only person that was their main witness was the father of the child. So Shiloh's defense attorney thoroughly discredited his testimony because he had claimed that, he thought Shiloh was going to attack his son when she was going to retrieve the item that was stolen from her. And by the way, Shiloh didn't know what was taken from her bag. A lot of the media reports will say applesauce, pack of applesauce. Well, Shiloh actually didn't know what was taken from her bag. I think that's important. A lot of people missed that part. The father says nine years old, who wears an ankle monitor, by the way, and police installed because the child has to be held by the hand at all times or he will escape and run off. The father testified that he would run off 2 to 3 times per day. So he has a police installed tracking device on this kid.
What?
No joke.
So literally heavily, severely autistic, probably criminal mischief and other things he gets up to. And then he steals out of her purse. She calls him whatever. He can say whatever. He's trying to get your property back. And then the father videotapes her, asks her to say the N-word. And then as she's leaving and then she's charged for saying it to him because it's fighting words. What? She's a woman.
Yeah, well, close. So the father, they're all Somali. So the father, he's at the park. He's obviously not holding the child by the hand because the child escapes and he immediately goes to steal something. You know, how ironic is that? And goes through Shiloh's purse. Shiloh runs after the kid, retrieves the item, which she didn't know if it was her cell phone. She didn't know if it was her wallet or, her credit card. She didn't know what was taken from her purse. So she goes to get the item back. He drops it. because I guess he realizes there's a woman chasing him, and it turns out to be a turkey puree packet, like that has turkey in it. So then she goes back, she grabs her kid, goes to leave, and another Somali man shows up. He's holding the phone, and that's where the recording starts that you see in the viral video. This Somali man is not related to the father or the child. And so he starts recording. That's where you see the video start from that point.
And it's pretty cool. The boomers, you know, we are the world. They invited all these people in here. It's pretty base the boomers to do. And then we got to kind of deal with it. Okay. Let's talk about this. So he was caught outside the courthouse on camera speaking English just fine. No translator needed after claiming that he couldn't speak English. What's the story there?
Yeah. After, I think it was after day two of the, that evening, I walked outside and lo and behold, I see their star witness walk out, Shire Jamali, the father of the child, and who we've been told in the court that he cannot speak English. He walks out, starts talking to the two prosecutors, handling the case out front of the courthouse, and they just start chatting it up. They start chumming it up. No translator needed. And I'm looking at this, it's like, this is crazy. So I take out my phone, I start recording them. I have video, I have pictures, and then I go back and I show Shiloh's attorney, who's like, is this just from right now? And I said, yeah. And he just couldn't believe it. So it was a big fumble on their part. He actually brought it up with the judge. Of course, the judge wouldn't allow it. So none of that was allowed to be shown to the jury.
The Somalis, they called the police immediately after this happened, after the initial incident?
No, of course not. So the father, he didn't contact police until 10 days after this happened. That's how really concerned he was. That's how scared he was that Shiloh was going to.
They figured out they could drift off it. They figured they could make some money. Man, they should be in Somalia. They are Somalians. They live in Somalia. America is not America because of Somalian immigration and Somalian ingenuity. You can get mad at me if you're on the left or more liberal and you hear me say that. It's just the truth, right? So how, by importing essentially an invasive species of people into here that are known to be intensely group loyal, intensely group dependent, they're known to uplift themselves, they hire and fire themselves exclusively. So I think it's very obvious the corruption just kind of baked in here. And I just want to make it clear again, because I feel passionately about this. I love everybody that has a history of being here as an American, as a foundational American. You got grandparents here, great grandparents here. You helped build this country. I'm your guy. 100%. Doesn't matter. Black, white, Asian, Mexican, Hispanic, whatever, you name it. These people literally just got here. They have no right to be here. We let in between 1 and 2 million people. That's just legally. Every single year in the U.S., and then we get beaten over our heads by the evil Jewish or evil white liberal that says that we're racist, right? Because we don't want a Yakub living here. Can you believe this? Unbelievable.
Yeah, these are the consequences of the United States Refugee Act, actually, that was the mechanism that allowed the presidents to designate a certain amount of refugees that they want to bring into the country, which always turned out to be, you know, on rare exception, it's usually sub-Saharan Africans, they bring into this country and they are fully subsidized. And what's also funny about this, both of the Somalis in question here, the person that filmed Shiloh and also the father, they're part of the CDL scam. They both have CDL licenses.
Truck driver.
It's exactly. Yeah. The scam is just in every direction.
Wow.
So they are part of the CDL scam. The Somali who filmed Shiloh, he's back in Africa right now, so he's not even in the U.S.
The motherland. Okay, let me ask you about this. The man who filmed Shiloh, also a CEL truck driver, the guy from Somalia you're talking about, that he's back there right now, he was arrested for rape?
That's right, yeah. So this is one of those benefits of multiculturalism and diversity,
absolutely.
I guess. So he came and immediately, you know, he was arrested, I think, for some sort of protest or some violence of some type. And then another time he was arrested for kidnapping either one or two girls with his partner. And
wow.
They took the girls to a trailer and raped them. So that's
liberal.
Yeah. So and then the state of Minnesota, they had all the evidence. A lot of this has been posted if you search for it. They declined to prosecute. They wouldn't say why. They just said, in the interest of justice, we're not going to prosecute.
Nice.
So
classic.
They kind of just let it slide. So, and then what's this guy doing? He's hanging around parks. You know, he's hanging around parks in Rochester, Minnesota, and he hears Shiloh say the no-no word, and he decides it's his time to be a hero.
I don't want to hear about how we're bad because we're white or whatever when these people are responsible for like one of the longest unbroken slave trades in history. It's completely insane that they're like, they get to hold the N-word over people's heads when they've literally sold black people for hundreds, if not thousands of years in Somalia. It's really wild. It's really crazy stuff. Like the doubles, and here's the thing, I'm just going to make a prediction. I didn't follow the case itself that closely. I haven't seen a clip of the judge. It's a fat white woman, isn't it?
Yep.
What's her name?
Judge Daly, I believe. I forget her first name, but yeah, she's, ironically, a lot of people have pulled up her record. Guess what? She's soft on crime when it comes to non-white sex offenders. She lets them off with a slap on her wrist. Less community service than what she sentenced Shiloh to. So she's soft on crime, but in this case, and just to be clear, this is a misdemeanor for these so-called fighting words that Shiloh used. So it's a misdemeanor. They took it to a jury trial, which is unheard of for disorderly conduct. And it's like 0.1% of these kind of cases make it to a jury trial. So Shiloh is like, she's the 1%. She's the 0.01% that actually made it to a jury trial. So the whole thing is, obviously, we know it's a political prosecution for her daring to say the no-no words to a protected class of people in this country. So that's why they took her to court.
100%. And just interesting notes about the case, things that you picked up, things that you noticed while you were there. Anything in particular?
One of the disappointing things was I was the only person there, really, in the gallery that was not with corporate or local media that was already in cahoots that actually wanted to report on what happened in the courtroom. You won't get this information until they actually release the transcript of the trial, because your local media, they didn't mention any of this stuff. They'll just be very vague about it. And they were all sitting on the other side of the gallery. They saw the same thing I did. Yet when you check their reports, it doesn't mention any of this stuff. So it's just interesting how they just happened to leave all this stuff out, in their coverage.
Yeah. And that just makes me really angry, really sad, because I know we're going to see a lot more of it in the future. And ultimately, here's my position. Like, people come at me and they call me like a bleeding heart, like liberal or leftist, because I'm very anti-war. The wars generate the refugee crises that lead to people like this being here. And I find it to be very crazy that people are being like, trust in Trump, trust in the president, when he's creating an environment for people like Mamdani to win future elections. He's creating an environment for people like AOC, the DSA, Gavin Newsom, whatever you want to say. And even if it's a Republican, an establishment Republican or whatever, a rhino, they're all rhinos. They should change from a elephant to a rhino as the emblem of the party. They love the H-1B. They love it. And all these people they got to come here during 2021, 2023, and they got those super low interest rates. They got 30-year mortgages they weren't supposed to get, but the bank wanted to make money, and it knew that they had the money. So it gave them the mortgages, and now I'm 23, and I can't start a family, get a house. So that's just one of many factors. What are your thoughts, just as it goes on the immigration issue, the legal immigration issue in this country, and really like where we go from here, and just kind of like who has a coherent platform, you think, on this?
Well, it's disappointing. I mean, obviously, Trump has, in my opinion, been a huge disappointment. He's had the opportunity to do a lot of things, and he's all about the legal immigration, which is just as big a problem as illegal immigration.
Yes.
And he's not addressing, we're talking about mass deportations. They were never serious about mass deportations. So that was a lie. We can see that now. There's been zero attempt to go after employers because they are protecting big business because these people hire illegals. And as long as they are working, they don't really care. So there's no effort to go after employment side immigration enforcement. And like you said, all these H-1, these paperwork, soon-to-be paperwork Americans, they're all paying these mortgages, so they don't want to remove these H-1B people because they're paying into the system, so they don't have any incentive to remove them. And, you know, if you run the numbers, there's like 3,000 to 4,000 anchor babies being born every day from this massive amount of foreigners that are in this country. And so, you know, that's, and they talk about mass deportations. That doesn't even keep up with the number of anchor babies being born on a daily basis. So it's very blackpilling, and unfortunately, Trump is not doing enough.
Yeah, I think people will care more, you know, in like 10, 20 years when we truly have a country that's unrecognizable. It's unrecognizable already, but people are going to just look up from their phones and be like, where's my country gone? And it's like, well, you know, your grandparents voted for this. So it is what it is. And I look at it, I'm 23, and none of this stuff is my fault. You know, like the first election I could vote in was 2020, right? And I just think a lot of young people, we have problems looking at this situation because we didn't control any of it. We weren't responsible for any of it. And the same people that are responsible for it, are that did vote for it, that did make the compromises, they're still around trying to boss us around and telling us what to do. And I have a real problem with that. What's your thought on that?
Well, we're in the golden age. Trump said we're in the golden age right now.
In the golden shower, that's right. Very fun.
Yeah, and no new wars, and we're still, you know, what's going on in Iran? I think, is the strait even closed, or is it open?
The strait's closed, and not just the Strait of Hormuz, the Bab el-Mandeb, the Houthis, the Yemeni people, they're fighting Saudi Arabia right now. It's a giant regional energy war. The Ukrainians have hit either Russian or Iranian cargo ship that was doing commerce between the two countries. Of course, the Iranians have supplied the Russians with the Shahed drone before, but that just points to it. Like, we're in World War III. Basically, and you can't fix the country and do World War III. I think that's a very key distinction. This isn't what Americans voted for. When I voted for the peace president, I voted for a guy that I believed to be focused on domestic policy. And when you look at the first term of Trump, they told him that $17 billion for the wall would bankrupt the country, bankrupt the budget. Oh, no, you can't ask for that. I'm old enough to remember. Yeah. I watched Fox News. Okay, I watched CNN at the time. Like, I watched the tape. But then we can fart out $200 billion in like 39 or 150 days. Yeah. We can just fart it out whenever we want.
Ukraine and Israel gets everything they want. And this, you know, the first 2 years has been nonstop, basically MEGA policy. So, you know, make Israel great again.
Yes, the real MEGA is for real. Absolutely.
I have MEGA fatigue right now. So,
yeah, I think we all do, man. And I played some clips of Lindsey Graham in the first hour, just kind of gloating over like he engineered, wanted this to happen for years. Trump was the guy they finally able to execute on. And I wish we took care of our people here at home, because people here at home, they deserve to speak English. They deserve to be able to pay for things, be able to go to the gas station, be able to have the normal American life of owning a house, owning a home. You shouldn't be deprioritized in the interest of foreigners, because here's, you know what they are? They're economic units. That's why they speak so highly of them. That's why the politicians, left, right, and center, all love them. That's why they're so pro-legal immigration specifically, is because they are the economic units that they can just plug into the society and say, hey, this has a high birth rate. This has employment. We can get a scholarship, whatever. And then, boom, that's our economic unit, but that's not an American. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's egalitarian egalitarian viewpoint, which they think that everybody is capable of all things. So they bring in these third world people and they think they're just going to plug them into the system and they're going to get the same results. And that's just not the case. Demographics is destiny. And, you know, we're seeing this as wherever these people go, things start to decline. There's never a case. I'd love to see a case where if it's such a benefit, show me a place where they're bringing all these people and things actually improve, because I haven't seen that. Everything always declines. Everything, crime goes up. You know, your city infrastructure starts to degrade. There's crime and mass transportation. There's issues on mass transportation in the city wherever these people are. So
how are you supposed to assimilate when you're from essentially a pirate desert and you're slave traders? Seriously.
Good question.
It's insane. And people go, that's bigoted, but then they don't care about them literally selling people into slavery. I hate Gad Saad, and I'm not a fan of him. He's, of course, an IDF agent and all that. But, like, he's right. It's suicidal empathy. What do you think?
No, absolutely. Suicidal empathy, you know, voting rights. This goes back, you know, this has been a long thing coming. You know, you can go back to voting rights. Who's allowed to vote in this country? You know, we got away from like land ownership, people that were actually had skin in the game. And now we give everybody voting rights. So it's a lot of problems. I'm not sure how we're going to get out of this, but, I've been, kind of disappointed with Trump's, you know, I did vote for Trump.
Yeah.
But, I'm not, kind of, it's kind of embarrassing now.
What we're going to have to do, and this rubs a lot of people the wrong way, but it's the truth, is we have to embrace the American identity of people that have been here, because you're not only going to be able to do this with white people. But yeah, that's just the reality. In the future, you have to explain to people, hey, your parents died for your right to be free here. And there are people that got here 20 minutes ago that are taking your subsidies. Like that's the argument needs to be made to people that are here, regardless of their skin color or ethnicity in general. If you've been here for a while, we don't need these people. We need you. You should be succeeding. Why are they succeeding? Why do they get benefits? Why do they get to go to college? Why do they get scholarships? Why not you? And I think if we make that argument to more people specifically, just to the young people of the country in general, and you say, hey, wake up, Jamal. Like Abdul is coming here and he's taking your house. Like seriously, I think that's a positive message. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you could try. I'm not sure if that's going to work, but yeah, it's definitely it's worth making the case because, you know, those groups of people don't like each other also. So, you know, you see where these Somalians go in and like American blacks are not fans of them either. So, you know, they multiculturalism, there's going to be multiple warring tribes that are beefing with each other. We've seen, you know, this is still growing. Rochester actually where this happened. Rochester has a fairly small Somalian population. It's still majority white. When I was there, it was mostly white. When you walk around cities in Florida, for example, you see, you know, way more diversity and way more problems. But you know, these, it's ironic because they inserted these people into the middle of the country in the most white places in the country, by design. So they've already flipped Minnesota. Right. And I'm sure they're going to try to do – I think they're doing the same thing in Maine. You know,
it's an economic block. It's a voting block. It's built in to run the system wherever they need to plug it in. Thank you, Tom Hennessy. Where can people find you?
Yeah, Tom Hennessy, 69 on X, Tom right. Hennessy, 69. And also the fundraiser for Shiloh, which is still ongoing because of this. So if you want to kick in a few bucks, she's going to be appealing this. This is pinned on my profile. So if you scroll down there a little bit, it's like the first thing. So you can donate to Shiloh's fundraiser. So I'd appreciate it. If you want to know how to help, just donate to her fundraiser. She'll be appealing the case. And I'd like to get it over 1 million to send a message. The fundraiser has been very successful. It's one of many that I've done. And I'd like to get over 1 million to send a message and also help with all her costs because she is appealing this and that's going to cost money.
For sure. Thank you for your time. Really appreciate it. We'll follow up with you as this develops. Tom Hennessy, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to come back with more AI news. We're going to come back with a little bit more of Mom Donnie, I think. We'll round it out that way. I do want to remind you guys, thealexjonesstore.com, that is the place to go. Methylene Blue, it's got an 80% reorder rate for a reason. If you want to keep independent media functioning, keep independent media in the fight and alive, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get yourself some Methylene Blue. Get it for a friend. Get it for whoever. Why not? Just go grab some of the blue. We got the Nixon shirts. We got America 250 shirts. We got the hats. We got the power plant, the methyl drive, the methylcobalamin, all of it and more. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I will see you after these messages.
And a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Collins saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatically when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The H-1B housing crisis gets more insane the deeper you look into it. So according to the National Association of Realtors, for the year of 2025, Indian nationals spent $2.2 billion on houses in the United States. Now, apparently the biggest misconception is that the H-1B program is temporary. It was created for temporary visa workers to come over to the U.S. and maintain jobs and work and then eventually go back to where they came from. Well, now, as many of you have become aware, the H-1B visa program is being used as a loophole to stay in America. But this isn't just something that you and I are aware of, because the banks are also aware of it, considering they're just giving away 30-year mortgage loans to these H-1B visa holders. Now, out of the $2.2 billion, 97% have lived in the United States, and 67% bought a home and made it their primary residence. Now, why would people be buying homes if they were only here temporarily? The backlog for a green card is over like 100 years of wait time. So all of these H-1B visa holders continue to simultaneously renew their visa over and over and over again because there's not a cap on it. So the overall problem is that when the government tries to tell you that they want to fix the H-1B visa program, just know that the banks already know what the H-1B visa holders are doing, which is why they're going to go ahead and offer these people 30-year mortgages. If the government actually cared and wanted to put in the effort to fix and change the H-1B visa program so it wasn't being taken advantage of, then they would have done it already. And this is just yet again another loophole that a bunch of foreigners are using to get into the country. You could probably show me on one hand a group of people who were actually utilizing the H-1B visa program as it was made to come in to work temporarily and then leave. But the majority of people using it, per the data, show what everybody has been saying, is that these people don't come in temporarily. They come in, they buy homes, and they stay here. But they just don't want to put in the time and effort to become American citizens.
Let's just go over the H-1B visa. So yes, the standard limit is up to 6 years. That's what it's supposed to be. But they've been abused for so long, it's become so normalized that I don't think a lot of people even realize that these things are supposed to be temporary anymore. So the initial admission is only supposed to be 3 years, and then the extension is supposed to only make it to go up to about 6 years, but that's just not what's happening anymore. So let's just take a look down here at the figures that were cited. So according to the National Association of Realtors, it looks like, yes, $2.2 billion worth of existing homes were purchased by Indians. That is shocking. If we look at the primary residency that was cited, yes, there were Indian buyers, and the primary residence was 66%. So a lot of them, what that means is that they are actually living here in America. This is their primary residence. They are not in India. They're not flying back to India. They are making America their primary home. So how are they doing this if they're only supposed to be here for 3 years or 6 years? Well, again, we can just take a look here at what is really going on. Beyond 6 years for the H-1B visa is allowed and common. So what they're doing is they're just renewing these things forever, and somehow it's allowed to happen, and then the banks are letting them buy 30-year mortgage homes.
Yeah, we know what's going on. It's a grift. And I want to go ahead and show this Ian Miles Chong tweet about Ilhan Omar. I want to remind you who these people are and what they do and why I'm not a fan of them. I don't want them in my country. And it's not a matter of being, oh, you're racist. No, I don't want slavers in my country. Let me read this to you. Ilhan Omar doesn't want you to know that her father was a high-ranking officer in the Baar regime in Somalia that committed genocide during Somaliland's pursuit of autonomy. Also, of course, not doing it directly, but a long lineage of being from the coastal slaver population as well. These are the people that'll call you racist for being white and not being ashamed of it. Please. So I don't want you in my country. Just go trade slaves over there. You know, we did regime change in Libya that failed. It's a failed state. They have slaves there, too. Maybe move to Libya. It's more in common with your culture to live in Libya and to trade slaves on the auction block than it is to be here, because we don't do slavery here. Look at that. Throw that up. You think I'm lying? It's the truth. The slave trade of the Bajun and Bandir coasts. You can go read this article. Look at that. So this is on the record true. Nobody knows this. Nobody talks about this. But these are the people that can assimilate into our country the best. The people with an insane slave trade history, known for being coastal slave traders, known for being pirates as well. I mean, maybe the boomers like Pirates of the Caribbean a little too much, and they think it's kind of like that over there or something or whatever, but I know I won't ever be voting for any of this mass immigration, but, you know, I did kind of, because I voted for Trump and he didn't do anything about it. So pretty disturbing, pretty disgusting. I want to get into this story now. New Mexico Attorney General says the DOJ is stonewalling his investigation into Epstein's Zorro Ranch. Let's not forget about Epstein, okay, because this is the real reason why the war is happening right now. Operation Epic Fury? More like Operation Epstein Fury. It's all a distraction, ladies and gentlemen. Nearly 5 months after New York Attorney General asked the U.S. Department of Justice for unredacted files tied to the Jeffrey Epstein case, Attorney General Raul Torres said federal officials are now making it clear that they will not cooperate. Torres said the U.S. Attorney's Office for Southern District of New York, the office assigned, a little burp there, handling Epstein files, told his office by phone Tuesday that it will not support the state's reopened investigation. In 2019, federal prosecutors asked Torres' predecessor, Hector Balderas, to pause his investigation into Zorro Ranch to avoid interfering with federal proceedings. Now Torres is leading the only active criminal investigation related to Epstein. He said survivors and the public deserve a full accounting of what happened at Zorro Ranch. I think it's a tragedy and a real stain on the Justice Department that it has gone on this long without real accountability for the crimes that occurred at Zorro Ranch. Of course, the record from the government is that there are no crimes. Epstein never trafficked anybody. He's not a pedophile. Epstein, in fact, never existed. And that's called Epstein apologetics. So I'm going to dispel that for you right now. Pam Bondi is on tape saying she has thousands of hours of the worst, most graphic things. Oh, my gosh. And it's going to get released. And then she's on tape saying, oh, no. Well, it wasn't Epstein. It was all child porn. So to the people like Andrew Wilson, who says Epstein's not a pedophile, to people like Gavin McGinnis, who says Epstein's not a pedophile, he's just a pervert, to people like Ben Shapiro and all these other types, right? It's a real group of friends over there. Michael Tracy, kind of the king daddy of all the Epstein apologetics. To all those people, how do you deal with that? He's on record a pedophile. He's on record at least having thousands of hours of child pornography. This guy, Epstein, the president's best friend and confidant right there. He's on the record. But don't know, my friends will get hurt. That's what Donald Trump said, and that's why Epstein can't exist. All right, let's go to the clip.
Attorney General Hector Baldera says his office paused its own investigation after reaching an agreement with federal prosecutors in New York, an agreement he now says was never fully honored. Peyton Spellacy explains.
Yeah, Shelley, Doug, in a new letter to the Attorney General Raul Torres, his office, Balderas, says that his office agreed to hand over its work to the Southern District of New York with the understanding that any New Mexico-related evidence would be sent back once the federal case was over.
Yeah, good luck on that.
And I wanted the current Attorney General and the lawmakers in New Mexico to understand that I really believe the DOJ has let New Mexico down many times, and I wanted to tell my story.
A letter outlining the specifics. Federal prosecutors contacted New Mexico in 2019 asking state investigators to stop interviewing witnesses. In return, they would give New Mexico all of their files when their case was closed, something they never did.
That if it strengthens the state's position, that we should...
There's a whole lot of documents and a whole lot of redactions for somewhere that nothing ever happened at, isn't it? Like, evidence absence is not, absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Boondocks. Like, literally. And then, dude, it's just, man, I just can't stand them so much. I'm trying not to blast them 24/7. I'll just talk about Michael Tracy because they're all the same. The people that do this stuff, the people that will sell you that Epstein's not a pedophile, it's not important. They call it, you know what they say? They say it's like the satanic panic of the 80s. They say, oh, back then they said there were demonic rituals going on. A lot of that was probably true when I wasn't it, looking back retroactively in history. But at the current point right now, we literally found out about all this stuff back in the day during what was called Pizzagate. All right. We found out, Julian Assange emails, John Podesta emails, the Obama emails, the hot dogs to be delivered for your pleasure. All of this stuff, the coded language that only pedophiles use about, you know, the cheese pizza, the cheese holders, the grape soda, all of that. That people like Michael Tracy genuinely want you to believe they're talking about food. You know, why do you have to keep 3 bags of beef jerky in the fridge? Why do you have to eat the beef jerky or else you feel like the demons are coming in? That's what the emails say. You can go review the emails for yourself. Epstein, like some sort of demented Professor X, was working with a guy that believed that they could create powers or enhance powers from people that were sexually traumatized to get them to develop psychic abilities. Okay, like these are complete nutballs that are worth billions and billions of dollars. Epstein was on the Trilateral Commission. Okay, Epstein was the controller of Les Wexner, billionaire, all of his money. He had power of attorney over Les Wexner. But Epstein never existed. He's not a pedophile. He's just a creepy guy. He's also certainly not intelligence. It's like the greatest clip ever is Bongino. It's even better than when he does the jump kick, the karate. It's even better than that. It's when he goes, oh, well, Epstein was working for Middle Eastern intelligence. I heard a source talk about it. He was working for some Middle Eastern country. Well, who's that going to be? Sudan, Iran, Iraq? You know, Epstein, agent of Jordan? Perhaps, maybe he's an Egyptian spy. What about that? Maybe he lives in a pyramid like Dracula and he rapes kids in there. Oh, wait. It couldn't be Israel. Now, could it? It couldn't be Robert Maxwell, who was buried with honors at the Mount of Olives, right? Ghislaine Maxwell's father. Epstein is connected very closely to all these people. Couldn't be Ghislaine. Why is she in prison? Why is Ghislaine in prison? Look at what's she charged with? What's Ghislaine Maxwell charged with? Throw that up right now. Because she shouldn't be in jail, right? If they didn't traffic anybody, he's not a pedophile. Why is she in jail? Why did the Trump administration meet with her? Why'd she get transferred to a cushy, like, club fed prison? Why'd that happen? Eh? It's not like she has blackmail or secret information on anybody now, is she? No! Come on, nobody pedophile, shut up! Please. Give me a break. Stop insulting all of our intelligence collectively. Look at this. Ghislaine Maxwell sentenced to 20 years in prison for conspiring with Jeffrey Epstein to sexually abuse minors, but he's not a pedophile, she's not a pedophile, they're not Mossad, they don't exist. I'm sorry to do it. I know my dad's going to hate me doing it. He literally told me they're nobodies. That's what he told me. He said, they're nobodies, you don't have to talk about them. But it's just the positions are so bad. Andrew Wilson doesn't think Epstein's a pedophile. Throw that up again. Hey, Andrew, I can't wait to see you on Thursday. Go ahead and keep throw this up real quick. Throw it up. Ghislaine Maxwell sentenced to 20 years in prison for conspiring with Epstein to sexually abuse minors, but Epstein's not a pedophile? How's that work, Andrew? What's the genius, logical strategy, logical fallacy there? How do you wizard your way out of that one? You are so screwed. I can't wait for Thursday. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's get back into it. Torres discussed what he described as a DOJ's lack of cooperation during the interview that we just watched. He said, basically, they said they will not be complying with our request to grant access to the unredacted, unrestricted Epstein file. He said the explanation they gave is that the restricted files are covered by, we got a code, ODA meant to protect victims' privacy, but there are no victims. Like, dude, like, I don't have to make an argument. I can just read that to you, but I have to make an argument because some people still don't understand. I'm going to read it again. That is hilarious. I'm going to read that again. He said the explanation they give is that the restricted files are covered by court orders meant to protect victims' privacy, but there are no victims. The victims don't exist. Epstein's not a pedophile. People tweet about this and they act like they're smart. They act like they have like giga brain or something. And the, you know, like they're the master debater. I just, man, good grief. If you're the master debater, why would you take such a horrible position? Absolutely insane. Torres also said there's a growing disconnect between what the DOJ has publicly said about cooperating with the investigation, what it has actually done. He said the same disconnect now extends to the Southern District of New York. Of course, that's where Trump was sued. That's where all the deep state operate out of. That's where cases go to either die or to be like made up, created kangaroo court style. So whenever you see Southern District of New York, you just might as well just throw it out. And this is the thing. It's like, how do we have any justice in our country when we have these key nodes that are controlled and they can just send everything back there? We often hear, oh, the judges, they destroy Trump, the judges. And a lot of that is true. And a lot of those judges are really evil, right? But the same thing is true on the other side. They're all implicated together because they're all protecting the pedophiles. Look at this. Former AG, New York and Southern District in New York struck a deal on Epstein 2019. The federal government never held up its end because who holds them accountable? Nobody. Operation Epstein Fury. That is literally what all of this is. It is all a distraction from the pedophiles that run our very government. I'm going to read this again. This is another quote from him, the Attorney General. So what we have is rhetoric coming from the DOJ, rhetoric coming from the Southern District, but no meaningful follow through, Torres said. The bottom line is we cannot move forward at the same speed and urgency that we otherwise would if we just had access to those files and the cooperation of our federal law enforcement partners. Torres' office later issued the following statement in response to Clayton's testimony. Today, under oath, DOJ officials told the Senate they're willing to work with New Mexico to produce these records. We take that statement seriously and expect it to be honored, but verbal assurances are not new. Yeah, they just say they're going to do it and they wait 5 years. And then you ask them to do it again. They say they're going to do it. It's a joke. It's not what people voted for. Literally, Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, I know they didn't campaign directly because they're appointed, right? I'm not retarded, but They did campaign on exposing the deep state, exposing the pedophiles, exposing child trafficking, exposing Epstein. And then you cut to that interview just a few months into the administration where they're sitting there like deer in the headlights, like they got a brain transplant saying Epstein never existed. Go back to that quote real quick. That breach doesn't weaken our position. It strengthens it. New Mexico is entitled to these records and will use every tool available, including litigation, to obtain them. Hey, here's the thing. It's not a big deal that Epstein ordered a giant thing of sulfuric acid to his island compound right before they came and sweeped it. It's not. He was cleaning his pool. Shut up. What do you believe in, a satanic panic? All right. I'm getting mad. I got to get this away from me. Let's go to clip number 15, and this is another lie. This is the estimated cost of the war. Go to clip number 15. It's like 5 seconds long, real quick. So this is in addition to the old clock, and the old clock was $113 billion. Okay, this is the new clock since the latest strikes have begun. Oh, look at that, 21 mil. You know, we just ticked up there. It's pretty cool. This, oh, it went down. Saved some money. Maybe we dropped a cheaper bomb on them or something. Okay. Keep in mind, these numbers are cooked and not real also because they've blown up our bases. They've blown up our radars. We have expensed thousands of missiles, thousands of missile interceptors, and we have lost 43 aircraft since this began. 43 aircraft. Did you know that? Did you know we lost 43 aircraft? Have you seen all the destroyed KC-135s, Reaper drones? The F-16, I believe, went down as well. F-16 at the bottom of the Red Sea, for sure, lost to the Houthis in 2025. I bet that's been memory hold from you. Pete Hegseth said the motion of the ocean caused the ship to go overboard. Certainly not emergency evasive action due to a ballistic missile, right? Certainly not. Epstein's not a pedophile, never existed. Certainly not. Like that's the same type of logic we got going on here. But I would estimate, and I've interviewed key analysts and people in positions to know, and I've talked to them about this. So I would estimate around another additional $100 to $150 billion that we spent on this war. That's not included. So this is just my hypothetical. All right, 23-year-old analyst here, this is my hypothetical. We've spent $113 billion plus $21 billion plus another, we'll just call it $150 billion. How much money is that? We over $300 billion yet? Are we close to it? Are we over that for sure? Oh, that's just the Ukraine conflict. Biden did that in 4 years. What Biden did in 4 years, Trump did in like 3 months. Or like 2 years. Biden did 2 years. Trump did in like 4 months. And that's what you voted for somehow. And then if you stand against it and demand accountability and say, hey, I don't want to have a weak coalition of weak sisters of fat, rich old men that are going to co-sign this while the youth of the country dies. And then everyone else that's dumb goes over to the Democrats. Or do we reform our party and in 2026 purge this element from it by saying, hey, MAGA, you don't get my vote. You're Israel first. Oh, no, can't do that. My buddy Trump is in a fight. And if my buddy Trump is in a fight, I'm in a fight, too. And that's the logic. It's Christian nationalist city. And they don't even live there. They think they do. They live in the World Jewry city. That's what they serve. They serve Israel, whether they know it or don't. They say, oh, well, Trump is our quarterback. And we don't like our quarterback. But we love our team. We love the Cowboys. Hell yeah. And that logic doesn't get you anywhere because Trump is an 80-year-old boomer, literally the first year of boomers to be born. That's Donald Trump. And he's not going to be here forever. And the MAGA hat and the red tie and the YMCA dance and all that. I bet there'll be people that try it. I bet there'll be people that try to do that in 2028, 2032. They're going to lose really, really, really bad because Trump destroyed his own brand, lit it on fire. And anybody that co-signs Trump in some effort to save his Republican Party, keep in mind, Trump was given the Ronald Reagan deal to remake the party in his own image. The Republican Party represents Donald Trump right now. It's going to represent Donald Trump in the future unless we stop that. Unless we say, hey, are we the red tie? Are we the spray tan? Are we the impression? Are we the YMCA dance? Or are we constitutional conservatives that care about our country, care about the integrity of our country, and care about getting out of foreign entanglements? Because that is what was promised with the peace president, the no new wars president, the domestic tranquility president, prosperity president, cheap energy president. I can just keep going on and on and on and on. And these people will give you infinite excuses as to why you still have to support the person that's actively raping you up your ass right now. Just because they got raped a long time ago and now they're rich and they don't care. How about we break the cycle? Can we break the cycle, please? How about I get to own a home? How about my friends get to own a home? How about our families get to grow? How about we get to do America like all you rich people did in the 90s? We weren't rich. We struggled and fought very hard. Oh please. Tell me about your 90 grand house. Please, tell me about it. Our interest rate was bad. You don't know. You don't understand. I know people that work 4 jobs and are still dead ass broke. Was that true back in the day? I do not think so. Absolutely not. And the decline of this country comes from ignoring the youth, ignoring the young people, and being part of the greatest wealth transfer in human history. Not talking about COVID, of course, that's the greatest one, but in American history, from the young people to the old people in this country. That is what is going on. I don't own much stock. I don't own a home. I don't have a 401k. I don't have Social Security. I'm never getting Social Security. The country doesn't benefit me. I'm supposed to be the one that provides. I'm supposed to be the one that has kids. I'm supposed to be the one that has a family. How am I supposed to do that when my government's out against me, wants to send me off to war? Oh, nobody's going to draft you. What are you afraid of that? You never go fight anyway. You damn right never go fight. I'm going to Mexico. I'm not dying for Israel. They say that like it's some sort of like prideful thing. Like I, as a young person who haven't had kids yet, I'm 23. It's my job to go die for Israel, but they're fat. They're rich. They do debates all day and they're not going to go to war. Like, you advocate for policy that's going to get my ass murdered by Benjamin Netanyahu in an illegal war of aggression, and then you say you're anti-war. And a lot of them do this, by the way. It's just kind of an archetype. Like I grew up watching Crowder, man, and to see him sit there on TRT with his double-breasted gun vest, whatever, selling us this vision of MAGA well into 2028 in the future, like, these people are dinosaurs, bro. And all of that is going away because it does not serve the youth of the country. Signaling that you serve or support the youth of the country, still doing that when you're actively screwing us does not work. Because we pay attention, we're in the economy. I'm a business owner of 5 years. I'm an employer. How am I supposed to employ people when consumer sentiment is at an all-time low? Explain that to me, because, oh, I have kids. You don't understand, young man. I have kids. You're spoiled. What do? Play Fortnite all day? No, actually, I pay people's rent. I pay people's car insurance. I pay people's, like, literally to exist, to live. I employ people. How am I supposed to do that? Of course, the great viewers, listeners, supporters, 50%off.com, JonesCBD.com. How am I supposed to do that in an environment where you're literally out to kill me? And then it's, oh, you're spurging out. Don't get upset. Don't get upset. I'm I can't curse. I'm outraged. I am outraged at what has been done to the youth of this country in service of not even the old. You know what? Boomers get too much hate. The middle-aged as well. I'm sorry. Like what is, you're pro-war and you're 50 years old or something. You got to have 30 years of amazing prosperity in your life. And then you want to tell me that I have to go die in Iran? Screw you. F you. Go screw yourself. Sit and spin. Seriously. The attitude towards the youth in this country is so directly oppressive that it pushes people towards the red-green alliance. That's how you get democratic socialists. That's how you get Mamdani. If you on the right don't talk to the youth about prosperity, energy, actual self-actualization, skill acquisition, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness stuff, and you just say, hey, gamble on Polymarket, gamble on Kalshi, gamble on the stock market, work for 30 years, you'll make it big, we ain't gonna have a country in 30 years. We just did the whole thing. It's going to be Somaliland. And then it'll be really fun, right? Because the boomers, they get to check out 5-10 years. Gen X people get to check out, 30, 40 years. Millennials, same thing. Like Zoomers, same thing. We're going to be here for a while, okay? And if we're going to be here for a while, we damn sure better make sure that we're able to do the same things our parents and grandparents did. That's not a lot to ask for. Shouldn't go eat fast food all the time. Shouldn't live in that big city. Should live somewhere smaller and save. All comments from people that dined on cheap credit went all around the world when America was truly Rome and they were under the aegis of protection. All people that got to abuse fast food at ridiculously low prices. All people that got to abuse themselves with no societal pressure, no cell phone to record you. It's literally the most entitled people on earth that want to send all of us off to fight and die. And that's crazy. And to older people in the audience that are wise and understand and get it, I'm not talking to you. You could be 25 years old and be a spiritual neocon. That's really what we're talking about here. But the people that try to claim that they're not neocons when they are, that is the true wolf in sheep's clothing. I really view that even as more disgusting and evil than somebody like Mamdani, because the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and that's what these people do. I'm Rex Jones. I will see you all week. 50%off.com. Rex Jones News with a Z. 50%off.com.
At last, it's here. Bring it into the docking bay. Stack them all in my chambers at once. I now have all the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter shower heads from the Alex Jones store.
There's something about this water I feel kind of funny. Hey, do you want to hang out tonight?
These stormtroopers are not warriors. They are vessels. We keep them full of chemicals to keep them under control. Like the dark side itself, it dulls the mind. It fractures the will.
Drink your water, troopers. I am sending you to the desert planet of Tatooine. We must crush the rebel force.
Dude, I think I'm gay. Me too. Let's go back to the ship and cuddle. I thought you'd never ask.
Turn around now and get back out there. These are your orders.
They're turning the frogs gay. Don't let them turn you next. Ha ha ha. You have to admit that Alex Jones is funny.
AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.